This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
I can't believe I'm saying this. This episode is brought to you by Lola V, an award-winning hair care line by the one and only Jennifer Aniston. Why did Jennifer Aniston start a hair care company? Because she was tired of choosing between hair products that work and hair products that are actually good for us. But thanks to Lola V, we never have to choose again. No silicones, no sulfates, parabens, or gluten. And of course, it's cruelty-free and vegan. The Glossing Detangler and Perfect Conditioner are my personal favorites. Not only do they repair the look of damaged hair, but they also shield it from future harm. The first step to unlocking confidence in your dating life and your daily life is feeling confident about your hair. So unlock Jennifer Aniston approved hair at LolaV.com. And as listeners of Seeing Other People, you're getting an exclusive 15% off of your entire order when you use code Seeing Other People at checkout. That's 15% off your entire order at LolaVie.com with promo code Seeing Other People. Please note you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined. After your purchase, they will ask you where you heard about them. Please, please, please support Seeing Other People and let them know that I sent you. You guys are in for a treat because support for today's episode comes from the best of the best, Jenny Kane. And yes, there is a discount, so keep on listening. You know that feeling when you get a new sweater and it instantly becomes basically another layer of your skin? Like you wear it everywhere, for everything, all the time. Okay, well, Jenny Kane has become my literal uniform. And if you don't know Jenny Kane, I'm pretty much about to change your life because Jenny Kane's clothes did that to mine. Jenny Kane is a California brand with luxurious staples that will transform your closet. Think minimalist and effortless, but totally refined. They have the coziest cashmere sweaters and iconic accessories that will elevate your everyday basics. I don't know if I wear my cashmere fisherman hoodie or my cropped cashmere cocoon cardigan more. All I know is that I cannot live without either of them. Whether it's a cozy night in with the girls, a dinner date with Jake, or catching a flight to Florida to see my parents, these sweaters are perfect for every single occasion, and I couldn't be happier when I'm wearing them because I'm so comfy. And you guys know me, I always choose comfort over how something looks, but with Jenny Kane, I don't have to choose because I get comfort and I get style. All right, so we have the discount code coming for you. Find your new uniform at jennykane.com. Seeing Other People listeners get 15% off their first order when you use code SOP at checkout. That's 15% off your first order at jennykane.com, promo code SOP, S-O-P. Let getting dressed be one less thing to worry about. Hey guys, it's Alana and welcome back to another episode of Seeing Other People. Together, we're navigating modern dating alongside experts and real-life daters who are sharing their stories. Don't have a date for tonight? No problem. Come learn, laugh, and maybe even cry along with us as we navigate the dating scene together. Brianna, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. You guys, I'm so excited to be sitting here with the one and only Brianna McCabe.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here.
I'm so happy to be here. And I feel like the last like 30 minutes since you walked in the door of my apartment, first of all, I've been so chaotic, but I felt so comfortable being chaotic with you. So thank you.
Oh my God. Thank you. I liked watching you be chaotic, but I also liked chilling with your dog. So it all worked out.
Yeah. Barkley's been very cuddly and he's giving his best impression. I'm very obsessed. Proud of him.
Obsessed.
Wait, I love how I still have the note in here. This, oh. You don't understand, like when I opened this book, it was, first of all, I told you this a million times now, like the fastest shipping ever.
Usually it doesn't work that way. I was like, she must have like the magic touch or something, but it's crazy. Usually like to go to New York from Jersey, like a week. So that was quick.
It was overnight.
Yeah.
And there were just so many like cute and special things in there. Also, okay, wait. Let's back up. I'm getting ahead of myself. Okay. So Brianna is the author of this incredible book that it's called The Red Flags I've Ignored. Or the red flags I've repeatedly ignored, love, lust, and lessons.
Yes, ma'am.
So I think that I'm going to make a bold statement. This should be required reading for anyone entering college.
Thank you.
Men, women, any type of person, every single person should read this.
I truthfully wish I had a book like this, and I'm not even just like self-plugging, but I think I would have avoided a lot of situations if I had a book like this to have read prior to going into college, which yeah. I think were like really pivotal years where you're doing a lot of self-exploration sexually, romantically. Yeah. And there was no guide. There was absolutely no guide. I was kind of just like freeballing it, you know?
There's no guide. There's so much that we're so self-conscious of, like, is this normal that we're afraid to talk about with anyone, yeah. even though a lot of us are feeling the same things. And there's a lot of things that happen for the first time that we're like, okay, well, I guess this is normal if this is happening. Like, okay, when it's really not normal and a lot of it's really not okay.
Yeah. And, I, you know, to be honest, when I was in college, what, it was 2011. So we didn't have, Like, I feel like the world is a lot more open now. We were talking about this before, but I didn't have podcasts really to listen to or books to listen to or people to be like, it's okay to feel these feelings. Yeah. Whereas now we live in a much more open world where people are talking about experiences that they had to help others relate and realize, like, you're not alone. So, yeah, I agree.
Exactly. Yeah, we had... You know, we didn't have this like big sister advice at the tips of our fingers. Instead, we had magazines like Cosmo and 17 that like had to, you know, stay within bounds and not push the boundaries or not be too real because of their bottom line and their investors.
1000%. But even Cosmo, like I used to read Cosmo, like how to make out with a guy, right? And I write that in the book, but it's like, but there wasn't. And there was always like the advice columns too, but there was never anything that was like, what do you do when you feel this way? Or what do you do if you feel like a man is, you know, looking at you only as a sexual object? Like they didn't hit those hard subjects, those uncomfortable subjects. You're right, because I think there was like, it's multi-layered. So,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, thank you so much for writing this book. Thank you for putting it out there and for being so vulnerable and open. I imagine that going there, like going to the places you went internally and, you know, putting some of these stories out there was probably really hard and scary for you, but I'm so grateful that you did. And I think that there's no way anyone could read this and not be severely positively impacted by it. Aww. And I hope you know that.
Thank you so much.
I like wholeheartedly mean it.
That just made me so I was really nervous putting this out there. And I say this on like a few other podcasts that I've been on, but the struggle was writing it was a whole different entity where it's like I had to go there and I had to like live it over and over as I wrote my stories and I edited my stories. But then once it was done and I felt comfortable, like, okay, I can't look at this anymore, like publisher, take this away. Then I was battling that. Oh my God, like, are people going to judge me? Like I'm throwing myself out there to the wolves. Like it was really nerve wracking. But on the same token, I was able to finally free myself from a lot of these things that I felt weighed me down and a lot of the decisions that I made that I wasn't proud of or the relationships that I was a part of that I had to take a look at and say, like, why did I do this? So it was a very empowering feeling, but it was really nerve-wracking, I'll be honest.
Yeah. No, I completely relate to all of that.
Yeah.
With, like, every single thing that I say. And I definitely, to a fault, like, I don't get as vulnerable as you do in here because I'm afraid of what people will think, because there are things I don't want my parents to hear, or I don't want, you know, my fiance's parents to hear. It's really scary, and that's why it's so important. And I think when something feels scary, there's a reason that it feels scary, but there's also a reason to do it.
I agree. I definitely agree. You just have to take the leap.
Yeah, absolutely.
You have to take the leap.
What made you want to write about your dating, relationship, sexual, college, wild, crazy experiences?
Yeah, great question. So I hit a point where, so I felt like I looked at my professional resume and everything was like in tip-top shape. I you know, I went for my master's, I'm a professor. Like you look at my resume and it's just like clean, polished, perfect, right? In my eyes, at least. But if you looked at my dating resume, it was a complete 180. It was chaotic, it was unhinged, it was like trash. Like what was I doing? And I finally hit my rock bottom where I was in a relationship with someone towards the end. His name was Hunter. And it just drove me to like a place where I felt like I lost myself. I was really miserable. I was in a depression. And we just went through things together that I had to take a step back and realize, how did I let myself get here? How did I let this man in my life? How did I entertain it? Why was I changing because of him? And to heal through all of this, I find writing very therapeutic. So I just started writing. And then it wasn't just that relationship. Then I realized there were several relationships leading up to this. And I was like, how did I keep getting worse and worse and worse, right? It was like this slippery slope. So at first I wrote this, it was going to be like a memoir, right? Chronological order. This is me. This is my life. And then I pitched it to my publisher. And she was like, writing is great. She's like, but let's change it, because I feel like there's some gems in here that can really be like a self-help book for others, because you have so many lessons in here that you're not even realizing. So then once we restructured it and she turned it into a self-help book, I was like, wow, like people can really learn from my mistakes and they can start peeling their own layers back and saying, what did I do to get here? Because for so long, and I think so many people, they play the victim, right? And I was just like, why did he do this to me? How did I allow him to do this to me? Why did I date him? How could he treat me like this? But I'm like, but what did I do to get here? So I had to really look back at my entire life, my two decades of dating, really, and say, okay, you know, this, let's get back to the bottom and then let's build up from there. So in a nutshell, that's essentially what started this whole journey.
Yeah, I love that. And I Thanks. Love the way the book is structured with Thanks. Encouraging people to look within.
Thanks.
And like you said, it's like we, you know, not play the victim, but we do feel like things happen to us. But yeah. we also are responsible for our actions and our choices and our role in situations. And so I love that you're encouraging people to take a look at not just like, here's the red flag that we ignored, but like, why did we ignore it?
Yes.
And what was underlying that is the reason we let that happen, and then the reason we said okay to that, and what would we do differently this time?
Yes. And then the biggest thing too is the element of forgiveness. Yeah. So, and that's something that a lot of people reach out to me too. So I'll call that a red flag where it'll be like, red flag, he cheats on you, right? But you stay. So it's like how I rationalize it. Oh, you know, he was just going through something. And then what I should have done is left him because mm-hmm. obviously he didn't respect me and respect the relationship. And we weren't in an open relationship where that was allowed. You know, we were in a closed monogamous relationship. But I forgive myself for thinking that it was because of me and not what he was going through. So for so long, I held on to these demons, if you will, that just like chiseled away at my self-worth, my self-respect. But I was able to like liberate free from all of that. So I think that's really important. And then also not only just calling out red flags in others, but like the red flags in myself. Like I snooped through his phone when he wasn't looking. Like who am I to do that?
Right.
I shouldn't be doing that. Or, you know, again, I stayed with him when he cheated on me. Or, you know, I would talk shit about him to my friends, but then like be super loving in public. Like it was just like I was obviously playing a lot. I was playing a huge part in these relationships, and I need to call myself out for that and never do that again, you know?
And also figure out why.
Yes.
Why were you doing that?
Yes.
Yeah. No, I love it. And it's something that is so important for people to do. And I think you really structured this almost as like a journal Thanks. For people, like, and they can take things from it and, you know, work on themselves. So there's a few different themes I want to talk about that I think kind of shape a lot of your experiences. One being friendship. So I want to talk about the role of our friendships and our friends when it comes to red flags and our dating lives and our relationships. I want to talk about self-worth. Mm. And I think these two kind of go together, but alcohol usage and sex.
I love all of this. I love this. Okay, how do you want to start?
You tell me.
Okay.
You guys know that I struggle with confidence. I'm always my biggest critic, and when I notice something about myself that I don't like, I can't stop fixating on it. I'm working on all of this, but it can be hard. A year ago, I noticed that my hair was thinning, and I was finding more and more strands of hair on the floor every time I would walk around my apartment. When I would look down in the shower, I would freak out at what I saw in the drain. That's when I opened up to my best friend, who happens to be a doctor, and she said two things that changed my life. The first was that she knows so many women our age going through the same thing. The second is that she told me to try Nutrafol. And so I did. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster growing hair with less shedding. A year later and a month before my wedding, and I cannot believe the number of people who have been complimenting how long, strong, and healthy my hair looks. I never imagined that this would happen. And naturally, as a result, my confidence has transformed. I'm no longer self-conscious when it comes to my hair. And honestly, that is a huge, huge, huge personal win for me. And you guys know I'm hilariously bad at sticking with habits and taking something every day or doing something every day. But with Nutrafol, building a hair growth routine is simple. You purchase online with no prescription required. Free shipping and automated deliveries ensure that you'll never miss a day. You'll see results in 3 to 6 months. And trust me, it is worth the wait. You can start so easily by taking their hair wellness quiz on Nutrafol.com for a personalized hair health plan based on your specific root causes. Take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering the Seeing Other People family $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code Seeing Other People. Find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and hairstylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code Seeing Other People. That's Nutrafol.com, promo code Seeing Other People. Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. When I first started seeing other people, some of my closest friends and family could not believe it. Not because they didn't think I was capable of being a podcast host, but because I usually can't get through a sentence without sniffling. And during allergy season, forget about it. My seasonal allergies are debilitating, and my sinus congestion and pressure has always left me feeling so sick. But luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Designed for serious allergy sufferers, Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so you can breathe better. This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. Claritin D has truly transformed my life. Not only can I breathe better and sleep better since taking Claritin D, but I also can get through the day so much smoother. I used to have to cancel plans because of how bad my allergies were. I'd go through a tissue box a week, sometimes more, and my eyes were always watery. But Claritin D's fast symptom relief starts working on allergies with nasal congestion in as little as 30 minutes, and it tackles nasal congestion caused by allergies or a cold, and also relieves sinus congestion and pressure due to allergies. It's truly the greatest thing I've ever come across, and I am so grateful that I found it and started using it. Are you ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed.
So for the friends, so it's interesting because I've read this book. Like I stopped reading it, then it came out, then I had to read it again because I was recording an audiobook, right? And
what was that like reading it again?
It was almost like, who is this person? I felt very disconnected from this person in like a beautiful way, but also I'd be lying if I said that there's still not a part of me that's like not disappointed in that person, but mm-hmm. It's also, it's a beautiful chaotic journey where I'm just like, I did this, it's okay. I owned it, I released it, but now I feel so separated from that person that sometimes it's hard for me to go back and relate to how I felt. But I look at this and it's like, there were some situations where I had, and I love my friends, I love my best, I have a beautiful group of friends, and it was like, they would call out these red flags and I'm just like, shut up, like you're crazy, you're too overbearing, like just let me live, mm-hmm. right? And then at a certain point, they would keep telling me this almost ad nauseum, and they're like, you have to learn these lessons yourself. Like, I wish I could help you, but I can't. But because you're going to do what you want to do. But my friends were so supportive, but they were also the ones who were really checking me throughout, saying like, are you okay? Like, are you sure you want to keep going with this guy? So the role of my friends in all of this was, they let me kind of, I was like a dog on a leash, and they didn't want to let me run too free. And at a certain point,
they would
point,
take you to the dog park.
Yeah,
they let me close in, and yeah. they would watch as you played yeah. and got into some little tussles.
Yes.
But then they would put you back on the leash.
Yes.
And then take you the next day.
Yes. And they're like, girl, get it together. Yeah. Like, especially in the last, so the, you know, it's Raunchy Rendezvous, Roller Coaster Relationships, Rock Bottom Moments. In the Rock Bottom Moments, especially, you know, with that guy Hunter. Yeah. I broke free from the leash, and then they finally got me. They were like, you can't do this anymore. So it was almost like you had your fun, you had your freedom, now come back and like let me help you and like let me guide you and help you walk along through life. So my friends were incredibly pivotal in my healing journey and also just my exploratory journey too.
Yeah. What would you say to younger you or to anyone who currently is going through a situation where their friends are pointing out like, hey, this isn't adding up, or hey, like, you don't seem like yourself in this situation? Yeah. Because our friends obviously have our best interests at heart, but it is really hard when you're on the opposite side of that and there's this guy and you like the guy and you don't want your friends being like, no, you can't be with that guy.
Yes, but you have to, this is the hardest part, is you have to take yourself. There's the equation, right? Where it's like one person and one person, they're not good for each other. And you're on the outside seeing that. Like, take yourself out of that equation, put your friend in that equation, and you're seeing these red flags happening. You'd be the first person to tell your friend, if you care about them, this doesn't look right. And for X, Y, and Z rationale, right? But when you're in it, sometimes it's very hard to see, but you have to like take a step back and like stop over romanticizing. Oh, we had a great date or whatever, you know, or we've been dating for 3 months. He's the love of my life. Like, you have to stop with that kind of clouded vision and realize if your friends are telling you something, they're seeing something more than likely, right, from the outside, from a place of love, of a place of wanting to protect you, of a place of safety, because they want the best for you. If they're good friends, they want your best interest always. So listen to them, hear them out, understand and try to, you know, analyze why are they saying this, because they're saying it for a reason. If they're seeing something that I'm not, you know, let's have a conversation and talk about it. So that's what I think the role of friends should be, especially when you're dating.
Yeah, no, you're completely right. And I've been on both sides of it. You know, I've been the friend who my friends are like, Alana, you're not okay. This is not okay. Yeah. You're not being treated remotely okay. And I've been like, no, you don't know what it's like when it's just us two.
Yes.
And I've also been the friend who's so like, this isn't good. Yes. You deserve more. I don't like this. I don't think you would like this if it were happening to me. And it's so hard. It's so hard to want to... it's hard from your friend's side, the friends who are trying to show up for you and express their care, because they don't want to push you away.
That's,
I think, where a lot of people get into trouble, because I remember being in situations where my friends did express concern. And then after that, I didn't want to tell them anything about what was going on. I didn't want to open up to them. I didn't want to tell them if I was upset about anything. And I think that, and I know you pointed this out in your book, like when you start hiding things from your friends, that's the biggest red flag.
I just literally got chills as you said that, because it brought me back. Like, I swear to God, like instant flashback in my mind where I have been when I was dating Hunter, and I don't want to keep throwing his name out there, but it's just the most recent. Yeah. But when I was dating him, I would start hiding things from my therapist. What? Like, hello? Like,
you're literally paying this person.
Like, and I'm hiding? Like, okay. Nonetheless, my friends, but... Yeah. At one point, actually, my one best friend was just like, and he was the one I was really honest with, because he would always kind of, he would give me that tough love that I didn't want, but I needed. And at one point, he actually set a boundary with me. He was like, if you stay with this person, I can no longer be your friend, because I can't see somebody I love go through this and like you be so stupid. And he said it in a way where I was just like, wow, I can't lose my best friend. Like, what? And then that was literally one of the pivotal moments where I was like, what the hell am I doing? Like, I'm going to lose my best friends. Like, and my one best friend was like, my other one, I can't talk about this anymore. Like, if you ever want to text me about a problem, like, it can't be me. And I was like, oh, I'm starting to push my friends away and isolate. I can't. So yeah, massive red flags. Massive.
It's really great that your friends said those things to you. Yeah. Because that is really hard to say and really scary, but it was the wake up call that you needed.
Yes. I thank them like, day in and day out. I'm like, I could never have lost you. But the fact that, and there were some friends who were just like, they would listen to me bitch and bitch over and over. But, and it's okay. I needed those friends too. But I really needed the friends to be like, wake up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I will say I had a friend, we're acquaintances now. We don't have bad blood at all. But I remember, and this was when, you know, I'd been through some pretty bad relationships and I was dating and really trying to find my person. And she started telling my other friends that, like, she can't listen to me talk about dating anymore. She can't listen to me talk about guys anymore. And I'm like, am I doing something wrong? Like, I asked my friends who told me that she was talking this shit about me, like, point blank. I'm like, does it bother you? And they're like, no, it's, like, ridiculous that she's saying that. Like, yeah. And I'm like, okay, well, like, thank you for telling me, but also thank you for telling me that it doesn't bother you and that it's something that, like, I can continue to talk about with you. But I just realized, like, there are some friends who, if they make you feel shitty about what you're going through or about talking about what's going on, then don't talk to them about it. And it's a completely different situation than your situation. Yeah. This was just like, she didn't want to hear my dating stories anymore because I was very obsessed with dating and like trying to find my person. And, you know, I don't know what was going on in her life, but like she didn't want to hear about it. But I did realize that like there are some friends you go to for certain situations.
Yes.
And not every friend has to be for everything. And that's okay.
That is actually my beautiful revelation. My therapist said that to me too. She's like, some people you go to for certain things. And like, it's a hard pill to swallow sometimes because you want to be able to go to people and, you know, for certain things. She's like, you know, you're not going to go to an accountant to give you advice on IT, you know? Mm-hmm. She was like, so you have to go to the experts or go to the people who you feel comfortable going to for certain situations. And she's like, not that I'm saying pick and choose and selectively. She's like, but you just have to like maneuver life knowing I can go to this person for this or talk about this person for this or have a philosophical conversation with this person because that's what they like. So you just have to know. Life is interesting.
Yeah.
it's interesting.
The things we learn along the way. Yeah, girl. All right, self-worth or alcohol and sex?
Oh, alcohol and sex.
Let's do it.
So I don't know if I'm alone here, but
You're definitely not.
Okay, well, thank you.
Nobody ever is, but you're definitely not.
I used to only, and this is my insecurity and also lack of self-worth, when I would hook up with a guy, and I write this in the book, I was always annihilated.
Yeah.
Every single time, like when I lost my virginity, when I had sex, pretty much my entire college career, like as if that was like my job. You know what I mean?
But, your major.
Yeah, that was my major, sex ed. I was always drunk. And that's a huge, huge red flag because why am I not comfortable enough with myself sober to initiate a conversation with a guy, to feel the energy, to explore myself and said person? Why do I have to be to the point where I'm borderline blackout drunk every single time? I use it as a crutch. I absolutely use it as a crutch. And actually, now that I'm older, I love to go on a date and have maybe just one drink or no drinks at all and just feel it from a totally sober perspective because it's a different experience. But I think if you're using alcohol as a crutch to have sex or, you know, feel like you can be yourself or do whatever you want to do, that is a red flag because you should feel, you should own yourself and you should be able to be like, if I want to ask my partner to do this, like, let's try it sober. And sometimes you can use it, you know, you can use alcohol to have a little fun or add a little edge, but I wouldn't do it the first time with alcohol. I just, what are you masking? That's my biggest question.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I said it, I'll say it again, you're definitely not alone in that. I think, unfortunately, in our like culture right now in college, that is exactly what I went through. That's what so many people I know went through. And it's really sad.
Yeah.
It's really sad. It's really sad that we don't even realize it because that's what's happening everywhere around us. Raise your hand if you have dating anxiety. All right. I know that everyone has their hands up. And I get it. I had debilitating anxiety when I was single. And even when I first started dating Jake, I kept waiting for the other shoe to drop. And I know that is not a good way to feel, and that is not a fun way to date. And I get it. It can be hard to find an anxiety relief tactic that works for you. That's why I'm so excited to introduce you to a new one that has helped me dramatically with my wedding and work stress and anxiety over the last few months. And trust me, there's been a lot of it. Sunset Lake CBD is an amazing company that not only has helped me feel so much better, but they also have a really cool history and mission. Sunset Lake CBD is a majority employee-owned hemp farm located right outside of Burlington, Vermont. As farmers, they believe in providing only top-shelf CBD and hemp products at fair prices. So they cut out the middlemen and they ship their CBD straight from their farm to your door, which means that their CBD is affordable and trusted because CBD and anxiety relief can help everyone and they want it to be accessible to anyone. Trust me when I say that when I'm stressed or anxious, my sleep is the first thing to go. But despite everything I have going on right now, I've been taking a sleep gummy before bed and my sleep scores on my Oura Ring have been through the roof. Plus, I'm finding myself relaxing more at night and being able to turn off my work brain and my anxiety with the help of their CBD gummy bears and reishi infused chews. Whether you want to sleep better, relax better, focus better, recover better, or anything in between, Sunset Lake CBD has something for everyone. So check them out today at sunsetlakecbd.com and use code SOP for 20% off your order. That's code SOP for 20% off. Farmer owned, Vermont grown, Sunset Lake CBD. Brave the uncomfortable. Those are the words engraved on my bracelet that have gotten me through some of the most anxiety-inducing moments over the last few years. And that's why I could not be more excited to encourage you all to get a Presently bracelet of your own with a phrase that resonates with you. Presently is a line of mindfulness bracelets engraved with words inspired by cognitive behavioral therapy. The brand was started by two sisters, Lindsay and Emily, who have obsessive compulsive disorder, aka OCD, and anxiety. They realized that when stuck in an anxiety spiral, it's hard to put into practice the tools that they learned in therapy sessions. They looked and looked for bracelets that could serve as reminders to interrupt that spiral, but they couldn't find anything besides the cheesy good vibes only and no bad days types of messaging. They started Presently to bring more authenticity to self-help anxiety management. And as someone who has had a Presently bracelet for 3 years, I mean it when I say it really makes a difference. So whether you need encouragement to make it onto that date that you've been anxious about, a calming mantra to get you through a big day at work, or simply a reminder that you're not alone, Presently has your back. Their bracelets are so beautiful and elevated, and they also make amazing gifts. And I know because I have gifted a few over the years, and my friends were so excited to get one and have worn them ever since. There are 6 phrases to choose from. And if you're indecisive, there's a quiz that you can take to help you choose the perfect reminder for your anxiety. Plus, 5% of each bracelet is donated to your choice of 4 mental health nonprofits. I wholeheartedly love and support Presently, and I know that your Presently bracelet will bring you as much comfort as mine has brought me. So head to presentlybracelets.com. That's PRESENTLY bracelets.com for 10% off your order using code SEEINGOTHERPEOPLE. Do you feel like you're at a crossroads in your love life? Maybe you're in the thick of modern dating, or you're wondering if the person you're with is your person. Whatever your situation, I have the perfect podcast for you. It's called Dateable, your insider's look into modern dating, hosted by Julie Krafcik and Yue Xu. They talk about it all, from why you're choosing the wrong partner and how to stop, to how to actually go from matching on the app to getting on a date, to securing your anxious attachment, and everything in between. Julie and Yue have been on Seeing Other People, and I've been a guest on their podcast too, so if you're looking for a great starting point, check out my episode of Dateable, season 15, episode 10, Is It Chemistry or Anxiety? Guys, this podcast is incredibly relatable, insightful, and oftentimes hilarious. Wherever you start, Dateable will help you feel inspired to date differently and create a love life that works for you. You can subscribe and listen to episodes on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts every Wednesday and Sunday. So check out Dateable and thank me later.
Yeah, it was like, I remember freshman year, I'm not proud of this and I'm not condoning this, but when I tell you, me and my friends on my college floor went out every single night, got drunk every, was doing keg stands every single night, hooking up with guys every single night, whether that be make out or whatever. I was just like, this is not healthy.
No.
This isn't healthy. And that perpetuated until my senior year of college. And then even after, we were still going out. Even when I had my first full-time job, I was going out. And it was just a toxic cycle that we were just literally looped in over and over, day in and day out. And it was just to a point where, like, I was making that the main priority of my life. Like, got to get through the workday because I got to go out with my friends, or I got to go to the gym today so that I can counteract the calories of all the liquor I'm going to consume. And it was just this, what are you doing?
I'm so tired thinking about it.
Yeah, I can't do that now, girl. No. Oh my God.
I couldn't do it then. I definitely can't
now. No way.
But it was so normalized.
Yeah.
It was so, so normalized. And
yeah.
I know with, like, I think there was a red flag that you pointed out, or on your, like, kind of like look within, you mentioned turning to alcohol when you feel bad about yourself. And my first thought after reading that was, A, yes, but B, when you turn to alcohol when you feel bad about yourself, you end up likely making bad decisions that make you feel worse about yourself.
Yes. It's yes. So I had 3 crutches for my lack of self-worth, which we can go into, but it was really, it was validation from a man, it was alcohol abuse, and it was eating. So I always kind of, those were like my 3 vices. And I tell my friends, I was like, I'm pretty sure all of us at some point in college were like alcoholics, whether or not we want to admit it. But every single social gathering was centered around the premise of getting drunk and who's going to get the liquor and how are we going to pay for this in college, making $7.25 an hour. Like, it was, you could say it's the culture thing, but it's not. But I continued this cycle where it was just like, I'd hook up with a guy, I'd feel shitty the next day, and I was like, all right, we got to go out, let's get a nice dinner first, and then let's get drunk, and then let's go get another guy. And it was just like every single day it brought me lower and lower and lower. And that's again what sparked the point of the book, is because every relationship brought me lower and lower. And I was like, oh no, like, how low am I going to go here? Like, I'm scared to see the depths of that. I don't want to see it. So if you feel like you're making decisions that are worse and worse, You have to peel back. You have to. Like, it's just, yeah.
Yeah, and also kind of checking in with what your priorities are.
Yeah.
I think sticking with college, like, this was a huge thing amongst my friends and my social circles, it was like, if we went out and we didn't make out with a guy that night, the night was a failure.
It was a failure.
That is crazy.
It was a failure. Not
that
even
is
just
literally
having.
Literally crazy.
Yes, not even just having friends with, you know, fun with your friends, not making new friends. No, it was literally like
dancing to a good song. No.
Yes.
Got to make out with someone.
Yes. I felt like I was a freaking predator, even though it was just like, I got to pounce on a guy tonight. Yeah. Like, it was, yeah, it was sick.
Hi, Barkley. Do you have thought? Are you judging us? It's a judgment-free zone, Barkley. He just like stopped and stared at us.
He's like, you dirty birds.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. I know.
That's crazy.
Lost that train of thought. Yeah, it is crazy. It's really sad.
That's sad. If you're in college, have fun. Like, don't go out. I know it's easier said than done because now I'm 10 plus years out of college, but it's like, or yeah, maybe 10 years actually, but you just go out to have fun. And if you don't meet anybody, that's okay. Like, don't
you're probably
put so much
not
pressure
gonna
on
end
yourself.
Up with anyone from college anyway.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, not in the basement of a frat house. Yeah. I'll tell you that. I don't know.
No way, girl. I have one friend who is with somebody from college, and they were set up for a date party by a friend who thought that they would like hit it off, and that ended up working. Like, they went on a date after their date party and actually had a kind of mature college romance.
If you go there and you're just like licking someone's face in the corner of a frat house as your shoes are sticking to the mucky floor, like, you, like, I don't know,
like,
what
yes,
you want.
Success.
Yeah. Like, but that's what we would call success.
Yeah.
We were just like, oh, like, look at this hunk. Like, what? No.
Yeah.
It was so convoluted. But I just think it was kind of ingrained in us.
It
like,
was.
And I also think as a female, maybe societally speaking, it's always just like, well, who are you without a man? Like, who are you if a man, if you go out in your skimpiest outfit, or if it's Halloween and you're dressed really cute and a guy doesn't want you, you feel like a defeat. Like, you feel like you didn't achieve anything and that you're not wanted, which is absolutely, it's the totally wrong thought to have. But so many of us held that, me and all of my friends.
No, you're totally right, especially with the outfit. Too. It's like, why did I spend so much time trying to find the perfect outfit or making this costume? I mean, I don't know if you guys did this, but we made like all these costumes out of like bras.
Yes.
Fucking ridiculous.
Were you in a sorority?
Yeah.
So I wasn't, but we would go to like a bunch of sorority parties and there would be like the coolest themes, right?
Yeah.
Like,
every party was a theme party.
A theme. It was like a mermaid party one night. We had like, oh my God, can I tell you the funnest party?
Please.
So it was Yo, this was wild. I'll show you a picture to prove it. But it was a Candyland theme. So we had to go dress like candy. And there was chocolate sauce everywhere. It was disgusting, but so much fun. Whipped cream. There was Jell-O. It was a mess. But like, we went dressed like sexy Twizzlers. What even is that? I don't know. But like, it was so much fun. But we left. We were like, we got to make out with somebody who's dressed like another candy. Right. Like, what is this? Like, what is this? As we're all sticky from chocolate sauce. Like, ew.
Yep.
Me now, get me away.
Yep. Yeah. I somehow ended up going down a path of looking at some photos from like these themed parties last night, actually.
I love this.
And I was just like, oh my God, like, what was I thinking? And like, we would go to the fabric store and then try and make a costume out of as little fabric as possible.
Yes.
She's like, what?
Saving money. No.
Saving trees.
Yeah. Just kidding.
Self-worth.
Self-worth. So I think, truthfully, if you don't love yourself, and I know this is super cliche, but if you don't love yourself, and it's hard to know if you love yourself, right? Like, you could easily throw it around, I love myself, but so what does that mean? Self-worth is looking in the mirror, even on a day where maybe you don't feel the best, you still love yourself, and you're not going to allow somebody to bring you down. You're not going to bully yourself, and which is something I used to do all the time. You're fat, you're ugly, you're disgusting. That is not self-love. That's an inner critic and an inner voice that you have to like learn to hush, right? But self-love is having boundaries. It's having, it's knowing when something is going to serve you well or not well, right? Which for so long I didn't have. I didn't have boundaries, which is a revelation that I didn't have deal breakers, okay? Mm-hmm. Which is nuts. So I didn't even realize this was a thing, but my first therapy session was just a hot mess, but like maybe three or four. She was just like, you know what's fascinating to me? And I'm like, what? She's like, you have no deal breakers. And I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, you would think that if somebody said X, Y, and Z to you, like you're fat and ugly, you'd be like, bye. And she's like, do you want me to bake you some cookies so you love me more? Like, and I was just like, what a concept. Like, I don't have deal breakers.
Or like, if somebody said, I'm going to cheat on you.
I'm going to cheat on you. She was just like, and you stayed? Like, you took it as a mission?
And the next day was like, actually, no, I want to commit to you. And then they cheat on you and then you stay with them.
And then still. I stay. Yes. So,
guys, this happens in the book.
It happens in the book.
AKA in real life.
Yeah. And she was just like, you have no deal breakers. And she's like, and that is a problem. And she's like, and that's a problem because you don't love yourself enough to like walk away when something isn't good. So the concept of self-love, it's, again, so multi-layered, but if at your core you don't love yourself enough to say, like, you do not have access to me, or you do get access to me and you're in control, not in the driver's seat, you should not be entering a relationship. You shouldn't even be entertaining the idea of a relationship or entertaining the idea of hooking up with guys because or girls or whatever, because you don't have – everything is out of whack. Mm-hmm. So you need to start with the core and then build the layers out. But if this – is off center, everything else in your life is going to be askew.
Yeah, it's completely true. And
yeah,
for me, I like to say, you know, it's really hard to love yourself. That's like a lifelong battle for people. But I think you have to at least like yourself and respect yourself.
Yes.
Because if you don't have those two things, then yeah, of course you're going to accept less than the bare minimum. And you're going to allow people to treat you like shit.
Yeah. Why do you think it's hard for people to love themselves?
I think society puts so much pressure on us to look a certain way, to act a certain way, to accomplish certain things, that if we don't, which we're not going to, first of all, we can't. It's impossible to live up to those expectations that society set, that we set for ourselves from a young age, the things that we wanted, the places we wanted to be in our lives at a certain point. Like, we're not ever going to live up to those things. And so we're so easily letting ourselves down. Mm. And then we're hard on ourselves. And then we just wish, like, why couldn't we have done X thing, or why couldn't we look Y way? Are those things that really matter to us, or are they mattering to us because, you know, younger us wanted that? Or, but why did younger us want that? Because they saw it in a movie or a magazine or read it in a book? You know, I think there's just so much expectation from everywhere around us, from friends, from family, from the entertainment industry, from social media, that to look at ourselves and be like, I'm great and I have so much to offer, is really hard.
That is. Even my therapist, she was like, do you think that these celebrities who you idolize, they don't have insecurities? She's like, name a woman who doesn't have a part of them that they wish they could change. She's like, and I'd love to meet them. She's like, because every single woman out there has something that they wish they could change. She's like, and for whatever reason, whatever it is, she's like, but you just have to learn how to be like, okay, like, this is me. And it's actually, I used to battle with weight, which I think also impact, and I was bullied, and I think it impacted a lot of how I viewed myself. And I always just was like, no one's gonna love me because I'm not skinny. I'm a little curvy. I got a little, like, a little bit of a belly. But now in my 30s, I'm just like, I'm a Renaissance painting. Like, I look like one of those, like, those curvy girls that are like on the walls of the cathedral in Italy. Like, you just have to like start reframing your brain, because there's no one concept of beauty. Yeah. Like, beauty transverses everything. So it's just like, you are in your own lane. Like, you're beautiful. Like, you're beautiful. But I just think it's knowing yourself and knowing your values and your morals and what you want out of life. And it can change. And just being okay with, you know, there's no idea of perfection. No one will ever be perfect. So it's just like, learning to be content and happy and joyous with who you are and what you have to offer. And I think that's what self-love is.
I love that so much. And yeah, I mean, I think there's so many ways to reframe what we look at ourselves as negative, as actually it's a really awesome, badass thing about us.
Hell yeah.
And in reality, like, I love this idea of perfection is so skewed, because, you know, we could change that thing that we're self-conscious about in whatever way, and then we're going to find something else to be self-conscious about.
Yeah. And it's even like, you know, just look at even what the entertainment industry feeds us. Like, you had BBLs being like a huge thing, and now you see celebrities reversing their BBLs. And it's just like, can you ever keep up? Like, it's always going to change. You had the skinny heroin chic in back in like the early 2000s. Then it went away and now thicker was in. And it's just, it's always in flux. It's just like, be content with who you are, because someone is going to love you, which also should be you, but someone's going to look at you and be like, that is everything I've ever wanted and more. So stop changing who you are. You're perfect the way you are.
Absolutely. And if there's ever some like fashion trend that like doesn't work for you, like don't worry, it's gonna go out of style. Like
don't force
it. Do what works for you and what makes you happy and what makes you feel good.
Yes.
Especially on dates, especially in your daily life, so you feel confident and you feel good in your own skin. Like it's the same goes for like if you gain weight, and I've been in this situation where I'm like, oh, like, why don't my clothes fit anymore? But I don't go and buy bigger clothes. I just force myself to fit into my small clothes that don't fit me anymore and make me feel bad about myself every single time I put them on, instead of going and buying new jeans that are a bigger size that actually feel so much better and I look good and I feel good in them.
Yes. I think the biggest problem is, when you bully yourself.
Why? We're so mean to ourselves.
Why? I do that sometimes, too. I have to check myself. Yeah. And I mean, that inner critic, it comes out. And that shit is strong. But you just have to just be kind.
Yeah. There are a few red flags.
Love this.
That we rationalize in the book that I think are really really important to talk about.
Okay.
And they're ones about us. They're looking within, red flags. And I want everyone to hear them, because I think a lot of us have been in situations like this, and maybe I picked these out because they resonated with me from relationships and bad situations I was in the past where I really didn't feel okay. But I definitely connected with them. So the first one being, you don't respect yourself enough to know when to walk away from a situation.
Yeah, that's huge. And for so long, I didn't. And that all goes back to self-worth. Like, if you don't know when to walk away, if you don't have you are in control of your floodgates. Stop letting everybody in. You have to stop. You have to, access has to be denied sometimes. But when you just let that be, everything just kind of runs wild. You have to know when to walk away.
Yeah. Why are we letting people treat us in a way that we wouldn't let them treat our friend?
Yeah.
We would never treat them that way.
A lot of the times, you know, people are people pleasers, or people are just so desperate for love, or people, like, there's so many, I can't speak for everybody, but I know for me, it just came from a spot of insecurity and just wanting so desperately for someone to love me. But this idea, this was not love that I was getting.
Yeah. Yeah, that actually leads into the next one, which is you easily grow an attachment to anyone in your life.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll go on a date. Yo, I can't tell you how many times I've gone on a date with someone and I'll call my best friend. I'm like, this is my soulmate number 89.
That was me. Like literally, like, literally, I would come home from every first date saying, oh my God, I'm in love.
I'm going to marry this man. Yeah. Off of what? Off of what principle? Off of what premise? Off of, I know nothing aside from he made me laugh. And I'm just like, I'm in love. Like,
yeah.
Like, oh, yes. Yes, I do.
Does having a good first date mean that this person is life partner material and is your person? No.
No. No. It's just, it's something I used to do, especially, you know, it happened with the first guy I ever hooked up with, or, you know, every guy I ever hooked up with in college. Like, I immediately felt an attachment to you because I correlated, well, you had sex with me, or we shared an intimate bond.
Well, you want me.
You don't feel that back?
Right. They wanted me in one moment.
We were attached. Literally, we were attached. We were exchanging energy. What do you mean that this was just for a, yeah. I went in, though, I think it's all about intention. If you want to go out and explore your sexuality and have fun, do it. But know the intention is, this is just for that. I was intermixing and mingling that. And I was like, yeah, my intent is to go out in college, hook up with my girls, you know, have fun. But then I thought they were going to be the man of my dreams. And it was just like, whoa.
No, it's so true. And I think so many of us did the exact same thing of just not having intentions. And that, because of a lack of intentions, and there's a lack of like, well, what do we do with this thing? Yeah. And we can't separate it, and we have to just lump it all together of like, well, we did this thing, or they said this thing, and now that's the truth, and that's what it means, and now I have to hold on to that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
not good.
No, you go down a slippery slope.
Yeah. And when you're so quick to attach yourself or your self-worth to somebody else wanting you, you can't do that. You need to be able to validate yourself. Your entire self-worth can't rest on a 19-year-old frat boy who made out with you blackout drunk once.
You know, I don't, that's hysterical because it's like, but when you're in the moment, like when you, okay, when you're in college and, you know, say you live on campus and, you know, I went to a small college where like pretty much everybody knew everybody.
Yeah.
But like, you think this is everything. Like, this is the most important thing in my life. Like, this is my worth. This is the stamp that I'm going to leave on this campus. And everybody's going to, like, no, life is so much more than that. And it's so much more than feeling like a man hooked up with me. Like, no, like, literally break it down to what it is. Like, you are more than just this hookup. Like, yeah. So stop putting so much worth and weight on that.
Yeah, and it's the same thing with in your 20s, your 30s, your 40s, dating. Like, okay, if you go on a few dates with somebody and you like them and it doesn't work out, like, you were a full, whole person before them.
Yes.
Just because it didn't work out with them, you actually, I don't remember if this was in the book, but I know it was in a podcast that you were on. You said something really, really insightful. And it was, just because somebody's not the wrong person doesn't mean they're the right person.
Did I say that?
You did.
Wow.
Yeah.
Go me.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, like, we're so quick to go on a date and, you know, it can be fine. And just because they want a second date, we're like, okay, like, sure, I'll keep going out with this person when we might not even actually like them. But we're like, well, they're not wrong. They're not bad. We don't hate them. So, like, maybe they're right. Like, no.
No. Yeah, actually, okay, this is triggering a memory because I did go on a date recently and he was a good guy. He just wasn't the guy for me. And it was the first time where I realized and I set the boundary. I was like, you know, I had a great experience with you. There was nothing that was innately wrong about you, but you were wrong for me in terms of like our values. Like, he was talking about how he wanted kids like immediately or all of these things that I was just like, it's not aligning with where I'm at in my life right now. So I just had to walk away. But you just have to know these people don't have to be blaring red flags. And I think this is the thing. Red flags are subjective. Like, what I think is a red flag, you may not think is a red flag. And you have to take a step back and say, okay, so for instance, like an example I always give, a Democrat may find that a Republican is a red flag, or somebody who doesn't want kids may find somebody who wants kids a red flag. So I can't tell you, like, the purpose of this book is not for me to tell you these are all of the red flags. These are the red flags that I think are commonly ignored. But you have to take a step back and evaluate who you are, what you want out of life, what you want in a partner, right? Where you see yourself. And then you have to set your red flags from there. But it's just, not everything is cookie cutter. It's very individualized. So you have to know, again, what you want access to and what you want to deny.
Yeah. And I think that's a huge problem with social media. And I've talked about this so many times, but it's so important to talk about over and over, is that the internet has an obsession with red flags.
Yeah, they do.
And so everyone's saying like, oh, well, this thing is a red flag. Like, if they wear this, it's a red flag. If they say that, it's a red flag. And they're making these blanket statements of like, these things are red flags. But just because they're a red flag for one person doesn't mean they're a red flag for everyone.
Yeah, I agree. So like, something else too was, there's so many. Like, sometimes, you know, for instance, somebody will say, you know, if they're recovering from some kind of addiction, that's a red flag. Maybe for somebody, but for other people, maybe they're also in a similar situation, or maybe they're just like, no, that's not a red flag. Like, yeah. So it really is up to you, like, what you want to tolerate. So not everything, you're right, it can't be an umbrella statement. It's really based on who you are.
Yeah, exactly. And it's tough to break through that when, again, it's like this pressure of like, oh, well, I read that this was a red flag and now I'm ignoring it. So if I get hurt, it's on me. Like, but is that a red flag for you?
It's actually funny you say that, because I was on a podcast, the Horrible Decisions podcast, and I was like, they were like, all right, what are some red flags? And I was like, I think, you know, if they only want to talk to you on Snapchat, it's a red flag. And they both looked, Mandy and Wheezy, they were like, why is that a red flag? I was like, well, because the messages disappear after 24 hours. They were like, well, all of us, we only talk on Snapchat, but I guess they're in like a different life though, you know, like they're in a different industry. And I was like, you know, great perspective, because I would have never thought about that. Mm-hmm. I was like, so you have to take what I say and apply it to like your situation, because to me that's a red flag, but for you, if that's a norm, then go for it. But you have to learn how to kind of maneuver that way.
Yeah, and that's why I think it's also important to do exactly what you did in the book, and it's talk about red flags within you. Mm-hmm. Which leads me to my next one, which is, you lie to your partner to try to catch him in a lie.
That's sick. Sick.
It's like, it's just these examples of things that we do that they're not okay to, like, they should be signs. Like, we shouldn't we shouldn't have to behave like this mm-hmm. with somebody who we're supposed to feel safe with.
Yeah.
And these are just blaring sirens that we don't feel safe and we don't feel comfortable and we don't feel secure. And I did the craziest things when I was in a horrible relationship.
Girl, there was one time me and my friends made a fake Snapchat account. And we posted pictures. We literally catfished like one of my exes, like when we were on a break, and he bit the bait and he was like talking to this girl, inviting her. And it was us. Oh my God. It was literally us. God. And I'm like, it was funny. Yeah. But it's also like, what the hell are we doing? Like, that is manipulation to a level. And also, that's sick. Like, if you start doing things like that, really take a step back. Why are you doing this? Yeah. Relationships, I think, they're not easy. They always require work. But if you're doing things that are way out of your character, that's a huge red flag. Like, I'm not over here on Snapchat catfishing people left right. and right. Like, why am I doing this? Right.
Or one of the things was like checking your significant other's like social media following numbers all every day. Like, I did that. That's all the time. Crazy.
I would look at his Snap score.
Yeah.
I was like, you sure you're not texting me, but your Snap score is going up by 20? Who are you snapping?
Right.
What?
Right.
Get a life, girl.
See who's commenting on it. Like, all of these things. There was one that you mentioned of, like, going through someone's phone. It's actually so funny. I was trying to find some old pictures on – which led me to the finding the pictures from the college parties. And I was trying to find them on my old phone because my current phone only goes back to senior year of college. And so I found like three old phones in this like bucket of old computers and stuff that I keep in my apartment, and I charged them up, and I like opened one and I was like, oh, like I don't think this is my phone. And I realized it was Jake's phone, and it was his like previous phone from probably like the first year of our relationship. And I was like, oh, I don't want to like look through his phone. That's so weird. And I like immediately turned it off, and like I was repulsed at the thought of going through his phone.
Yeah, because it's like, that's not your property to be doing that. That's not your right to be looking at what they're talking to their friends about or their mom about. Or
I also just don't care. Like,
And also, how much time is that going to take? How
long? Right, exactly. But in the past, you know, there was a situation similarly, again, there's so much I relate to, but where like the guy I was dating would always keep his phone face down. Mm. And anytime he would go to the bathroom or go to the shower, he would take his phone with him. I literally would like pray for a second where he would leave his phone for me to like try and snoop through it, because I didn't trust him. And if you don't trust someone to that why are you with them?
You're driving yourself crazy. And sometimes I'd rationalize it. Well, maybe their phone's face down because they want to live in the moment, right? Or they don't want distractions. But like, why is it face down? And why are they glued to their phone? Like, what are you hiding? Snap yourself out of it. Stop making excuses for people. Look at things for what they are. Stop overcomplicating the things that are incredibly simple.
Yeah.
That is the biggest takeaway, I think. And I would just constantly make up these lies and these excuses like, oh, well, da-da-da-da. No, like, stop.
The answers are right there
They're right there.
Yeah. Yeah. Ah, I'm all like, ugh.
Yeah, I'm getting riled up over here.
I'm just like, ugh. What has dating been like for you since going on this journey of writing this book and putting it out there?
Oh, that's a great question. I was doing a lot of healing. So this book has been very therapeutic, but it's also been very healing for me in a lot of ways, because I feel like I literally bared my soul to the world, and I just feel like I started with a clean slate almost, even though I didn't. You know what I mean? Like, I just feel like I was able to own every bit of me. And I was able to, I love how you're cuddling it, how cute. Mm. But I feel like I was able to see the simple things I would overcomplicate. So now dating has been actually fun. It's been, I know what I want, and I've been going on dates through mutual friends, or I'll just run into somebody, we'll go on a date. And I haven't met, and I'm still single, but I know what I want now, and I know who I am now. So it's just been, I'm not putting pressure on myself. And the other beautiful thing that's happened is I'm content being alone for the first time ever, really. And I think it's a beautiful thing, because I love my peace. I love my space. I don't need to fill that void. It's a void that I fill myself. So now that I'm alone, I don't feel like I'm in a rush. And I tell my friends, I'm not putting pressure on myself. Like, I don't know if I want kids. So that kind of takes away this time crunch for me. That could change. I don't know. But with that, if I meet somebody when I'm 40 who I think is like the perfect match for me at that time, beautiful. You know, if I have another 10 years alone where I'm just having fun, that's okay, because I'm okay with being alone. And I think that holds so much power, because people are just like, I need somebody now. Like, the holidays suck alone. Like, no, like they don't have to.
Yeah. And I imagine that younger you, when going through everything that you went through in this book, was not okay with being alone.
No, I wasn't, because I thought it was a reflection of why am I alone? Mm. All of my friends are in relationships. All of my friends are hooking up with somebody. Everybody right. else I know is getting engaged or having kids. Why am I the outcast? But that might not be my story. That isn't my story. And maybe that's not my timeline. So again, stop comparing yourself to others. And I think that's where self-love comes, is recognizing that you are the author of your book, as corny as that sounds, and you get to pick and choose the characters and pick and choose the stories. And you don't have to be, why do you want to have a cookie cutter book like everybody else? What makes you different? Mm-hmm. So once I started to embrace that, and I embraced that again, like, I'm a little thicker, or I wear berets and I dress a little weird, it's okay. Like, that's me.
And see, you walked in and I was like, oh my God, she's so cool.
Thanks. You know what's funny? I had an ex who I started wearing berets, and he was like, you're never going to make berets a thing. And I was like, I'm going to make berets my fucking thing, because you said that.
And they are.
Yeah. Thanks.
And you rock it.
Thanks. But it's just so that's been cool. Dating has been cool, because I know once I want to let somebody in that space, it's going to be a beautiful compliment.
I love that so much. And I'm so happy for you.
Thank you so much. You're the best.
You're the best.
Well, thanks.
Oh my God. Did we just become obsessed with each other?
Yes, we did.
I think so. This has been so incredible. And again, like, I'm so happy for you. I'm so proud of the journey you've been on. And I'm so grateful that you were so willing to share it with all of us. I do have one last question.
Go for it.
My favorite question to ask. What is the best piece of dating or relationship advice you've ever received?
The best piece of dating advice has been from my Mima, who has since passed, but she always used to say, don't force a square peg in a round hole. She's like, don't just force something to fit when it clearly doesn't fit in your life. So it should come naturally. You should find that square peg to fit in your square peg, and that person should complement your life. Stop forcing it if it doesn't have to.
I love that.
Me too.
It's so true.
She's so cute. But yeah, that was the best dating advice I've ever received. And it's so true, because all these stories I always forced.
Yep. And it doesn't feel good.
No.
When you're doing it. You know within you that it doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel right.
Instinctively, you know that it's not for you, but you keep trying to push it down and push it down.
Yeah. Let it go.
Let it go. Girl.
Where can everybody find this incredible book? Where can everybody find you? Thank you so, so much.
I'm obsessed with you. You can follow me on Instagram at the Brianna McCabe. The book is available. Super pumped to say this, so it's on Amazon. It's on my website. If you want me to kind of sign it and personalize it, I add some tchotchkes.
She does, and it's so cute.
I have a typewriter that I'm obsessed with, and I always type people notes.
I was wondering how you did that.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I love that.
Thank you.
It was incredible. I mean, it's still in here. It's my bookmark.
Thank you. I love that. And it's also available at Barnes & Noble now, so I'm really excited about that. It's online. It's only in select stores, but yeah.
It's my bookmark, even though you also gave a bookmark in here.
I did, but I appreciate that.
Wait, I'm freaking out. I meant to tell you this.
Yeah.
So I don't want to spoil like the little surprises that come, but I have to spoil one.
Do it.
Which was like, what's your red flag?
Yeah.
That scratch off.
What did you say?
So Jake was here, my fiance, and I was like, Jake, I wonder what it's going to say my red flag is. And I forget the exact wording, but it was literally something about how I'm too indecisive for my own good. And you don't understand. I'm like, how did she do this? Because that is literally, I have not shut up recently about how I need to be more decisive, and how I think my indecision's actually getting in the way of,
they could cripple you.
No, it's crazy. Yeah. But I was like, my jaw dropped when I saw that. I was like, what is this sorcery?
It's witchcraft. I don't know.
Literally.
But I'm literally so into. Are you a Libra? What are you?
I'm a Leo.
Okay. Well, I'm a Libra, and we're known for being indecisive. So
got it. Yeah. I don't know.
Sorry.
That's okay.
I appreciate
you did
that,
great.
Though.
That Thank was really, you. Really impressive.
That's the luck of the draw. There's like a few. So
yeah, it was great. Okay, wait, did you mention Barnes & Noble?
I did.
Okay, great. Just making sure. I did.
You're
okay.
So sweet. Amazing. Thank you. Ugh,
thank you so much for being here. You guys, seriously, I think hopefully we've convinced you, but if we haven't, like, get the book. Also, if you know anyone who's entering college, send this book to them, or even in college. I really think it's something that everybody should read, and I think I would have been much better off and saved myself from making a lot of really painful mistakes had I read this earlier in life. So please send it to someone you love who you want to spare them some heartache.
Thank you. Yeah, there's mature content. So just like that disclaimer, but I do think it's really critical. So.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I love you. Thank you
love
so
you
much.
Too.
And I love you.
Love you, Parks.
Thanks for listening, daters. I hope today's episode made you feel just a little bit less alone out there, no matter what your status might be. Give your finger a break from swiping and hit that follow and review button instead. And if you have any burning questions or want to share your own dating horror stories, reach out to seeingotherpeoplepodcast@gmail.com. And in the meantime, keep on seeing other people.